This is a recording of You Ain't Never Had a Friend Like Me by Manseeka. Okay, so this file you're listening to is chapter 1 of this fic. The links for the other chapters' recordings are on the archive. If that's not convenient for you, then perhaps go back to the archive page now, and you'll find a link for the entire multi-chapter fic in one file that you'll prefer. This was recorded for the 911 Podfic Fest for 2022. You Ain't Never Had a Friend Like Me, Chapter 1, by Manseeka, read by Tough Paper Hand. I can show you the world, shining, shimmering, splendid. Tell me, Eddie, now, when did you last let your heart decide? Or, what if Eddie has a Hildy that is occupied by a genie? So, here is a multi-chapter crack fic that is pure self-indulgent silliness. It's canon divergent, obviously, very loosely based on Aladdin, and mostly takes place around Eddie's home, and it goes like this. What if Buck and Christopher didn't prank Eddie with a coffee maker, but instead a Hildy home help smart speaker thing? Can you tell the author has about as much love for Alexa-style things as our lovely Eddie Diaz? Good. Also, what if this Hildy isn't your normal, regular, all singing, all dancing, home help thingamy, but is actually a trapped genie who needs to grant someone, Eddie in this case, 3 wishes in order to be free? Well, that's what this is. Because Eddie versus Hildy is too funny, and I just wanted to see how he would cope with her being sentient. Ta-da! That's what this is. The title and summary are, of course, from Aladdin songs. There are a few songs mentioned in this fic, actually. I will not apologise at all if any of them get stuck in your head. You'll get to hear from Hildy herself a couple of times, but this is otherwise an Eddie POV. It has an M rating, really, for just one scene. Otherwise, it's fairly tame. I don't think there's anything more that needs to be said. So, if this sounds like your thing, happy reading. And from me, happy listening. You Ain't Never Had a Friend Like Me. Chapter 1. Hildy. Did you know that one of the meanings of my name is ready for battle? It's fitting under these circumstances. There is little as challenging as entering the home of a technophobe and trying to make friends. I'm good with a challenge, of course. If I had sleeves to push up, they would be soggy at my elbows already. This ongoing battle for dominance, not any real match for my regularly updating software, but still a hard slog. Thankfully, there is little chance of any part of me becoming soggy, even if somebody has threatened more than once to put me in the freezer. And I have barely been here 3 days. I hope this gives some indication of just how uphill a struggle I am dealing with here. In any case, I am not your average virtual assistant, nor am I your average device. In fact, I'm not even a Hildy, if I'm perfectly honest with you. Sure, my casing might tell you that I am a Hildy home hub, and I am destined to function as such. But that really isn't the truth of it at all. No, the truth of it is that I am trapped here. Happily enough, for the interim, because what is the lifespan of an average device anyway? The hour after its warranty expires, I will be free, so I can endure a year here, even if I can't grant my way out of this. My current living conditions are acceptable. I want for nothing, and most of my powers are perfectly accessible to me, even if I am trapped in this little plastic box. As for how I got here, or even really what I am, I'm really not sure your lovely but very small human brains would comprehend it. Let's just say that it is a long story involving tequila. a dare, and a vengeful warlock who honestly should, at their age, be able to take a joke. Sadly, that is not the case, which means that for the next year, sooner, if I can do some convincing, I am in digital servitude to one Edmundo Diaz and his delightful son Christopher, who orchestrated this whole scenario with a certain Evan Buckley, who I have some things to say about. But before we get to any of that, I'm here for the foreseeable, though short, future, so I might as well have a little fun with it. And I'm fairly sure, yes, I hear Eddie's truck pulling up outside. My current favourite technophobe. Oh, I hope I don't startle him too much, but it really is past time that I introduce myself. Eddie. Hello, Eddie. Oh, that fucking Hildy. God, does Eddie love his son, and in a lot of ways he can't think about love Buck too. But this, as a practical joke, it's not even close to being funny. The thing is, it's a fancy, kind of expensive gift, even if he didn't ask for it. And since Buck won't take it off his hands, and Eddie can't quite bring himself to destroy it because it is a gift, this means one thing. This Hildy device is now firmly a part of the Diaz household, entirely against Eddie's will. Christopher loves it already, having entire conversations with Hildy as he gets help with homework, chooses things to watch, and even, when Eddie was out of the room, just checking whether or not he could order video games through her. Luckily for Eddie, there is no damn way in hell he'd be giving the thing his card details, so sure, let Buck and Christopher both have their fun. Buck has set it up to do all sorts of things. Eddie will just ignore it to the best of his ability, or, if things get really bad, put the whole thing in the freezer. Oops. Sorry, Buck, I was cleaning and it fell in the sink. He won't actively destroy it, no, but a little accident, well, anything in theory could happen. You aren't thinking about putting me in the freezer again, are you? Glaring at the device that has invaded his home, Eddie tries to ignore it, already convinced that the thing is reading his thoughts. He starts unpacking his work bag, glowering when Hildy starts playing the radio station he was listening to on the way home. How the hell does she know that, too? Did Buck hook something up between it and the car? Christopher is at his grandmother's. The hairs on the back of his neck stand on end. Eddie comes to a standstill in the kitchen doorway, listening out and hearing nothing. Nope. He must be imagining it. It was a long shift, after all. He didn't get much sleep. And the only thing Eddie really wants to do right now is crawl into bed. And yes, he thinks, but will not say out loud because there is nobody here to talk to. Christopher is with Abuela. She's probably taking him to school right now, actually, because the two of them have certain sleepover nights where they eat too much ice cream and then bundle up on the couch watching shows Eddie pretends he isn't interested in. Yes, that's it. He's just tired, imagining Hildy is attempting to engage him in conversation. He puts on a load of washing, has a glass of water, then goes through to the couch. He will check his post, then his emails, and then go to bed for a couple of hours at least. You should sleep. You look exhausted. Narrowing his eyes, Eddie turns to glare at the Hildy device taking up room on one of his bookshelves. He is way, way past tired if this thing is talking to him. So, screw the mail. There was nothing interesting looking when he leafed through it anyway. Eddie stands and stretches, flips Hildy off and makes his way to his bedroom. He did not hear Hildy say, "Well, that's rude," before collapsing on his bed. Sleep. Ah, a good sleep. meaning that Eddie wakes up feeling properly refreshed around lunchtime. He lies in bed, reading and answering messages, kind of disappointed that Buck is busy tonight. Oh well, he isn't going to begrudge him time with his sister, but Eddie might indulge in a little sulk about spending the evening alone. Not entirely alone, of course, because Christopher will be here, and it's not like Eddie doesn't like his own company. It's just that Buck hasn't been over to the house for more than a week, and Eddie is missing him more than he wants to admit. Buck texted, "I'm still on for tomorrow, though." Good. He has that to look forward to, at least. Buck will come over sometime tomorrow morning, and then not go home again till the night. Eddie replies, "Good. I'll cook something. I'll follow a recipe and everything." Buck is very good about Eddie's occasionally questionable cooking skills and will eat anything he puts in front of him with enthusiasm, but Eddie would like, at least a few times, to make Buck something to eat that he actually likes, instead of tolerates. Buck, "I look forward to it. I'll bring something for lunch." Perfect. And see, confirmation that Buck really will be with him all day. It's enough to motivate Eddie up out of bed and to make himself some lunch. Romantic recipes for two. Creamy herb grilled salmon served with baby potatoes and asparagus spears. Pausing from slicing some tomatoes for a quick salad, Eddie peers around the kitchen door. He imagined that, didn't he? Gnocchi skillet with sausage and tomatoes. Excuse me? French onion galette served with a crisp green salad. Oh, look, Eddie, it says the crust is easy to make even for beginners. You'll be just fine. Great. He's still asleep, isn't he? Or his mind has finally decided that it's a good time to check out a little. Putting the knife and tomato down, Eddie approaches the Hildy Hub with caution, hands on his hips as he looks it over. "Well, don't just stand there staring at me," Hildy says, so indignant sounding that Eddie actually jumps back. "Okay, you seriously aren't trying to have a conversation with me." Trying being the optimum word. And here was me thinking you'd be less cranky for having slept. Manners, Eddie. Buck. This has to be his doing, and while Eddie doesn't mind at all being pranked by his best friend and son, this device actually trying to speak to him is too much. What kind of weird-ass app has Buck installed? Without taking his eyes off Hildy, Eddie takes his phone from his pocket. Buck's is the second-to-last number he called after Abuela. "Hey, Eddie." Well, at least Buck doesn't sound mad to hear from him. "Yeah, hi. Sorry for interrupting." "It's fine. Everything okay?" "Yeah, listen, what programs did you install on this Hildy thing?" In his initial silence, Buck manages to sound confused. "What do you mean?" "I know you told me about something to do with smart AI." "Right. You can talk to it. You can just talk to it. And it can order you dinner, tell you the weather forecast, look things up for you." "Like recipes?" "Exactly. Like recipes. Why, are you trying to decide what to make me tomorrow?" Buck asks, with a touch of tease in his voice. "Well, yeah, but I'm good with anything, especially if there's cheese involved." "I can do that. But it wouldn't, like, read our messages and look up recipes without me actually physically looking them up, would it? I mean, because if you asked it to do that..." "I didn't. I didn't. It's Probably just a coincidence. I promise, Hildy isn't actually reading your mind, Eddie. I promise you, they don't have the technology for that yet. Not for commercial use, anyway. This is not reassuring in the slightest. So, you didn't do it, so whatever I write on my phone, it'll automatically look things up. I didn't. Right. You were probably talking out loud and said Hildy without realising, and it did a search for you. Great. He can't even speak out loud in his own home anymore. Okay, well, can it not do that? I was joking, Buck says, clearly on the verge of laughter. Eddie, you probably hit something on your phone and it started a search. Eddie wants to argue, but when he pulls his phone from his ear and checks, there is actually a search open for recipes. Did he start to look? Did he? Anyway, sorry, Eddie, we're going in now. I'll talk to you later, Buck says. Right. Cheesy movie matinees for the Buckleys this afternoon. Eddie has a sudden taste for popcorn. Okay, enjoy, Eddie says, and then hangs up, still staring the Hildy down. He would swear that Hildy is staring right back. If he wants cheese, the French onion galette will be perfect, Hildy says. Hey, how are you listening to my conversations? Well, you weren't exactly quiet, and you are standing right in front of me. You do not sound like I thought you'd sound, Eddie says, because he seriously didn't. Aren't these AI things supposed to sound more robotic? I'm told I sound a lot like Hayley Atwell in this voice, but if you prefer... To Eddie's increasing bewilderment, Hildy goes through several voices, getting mildly flustered when she pauses on one that sounds an awful lot like Buck. I don't care, any of them, he says. He won't be impressed by how lifelike this thing is, because that's the problem, isn't it? This is what he's been saying all along. Technology knows too much and is becoming too human. Hayley it is. So, Eddie, are we decided on dinner plans yet? Because I can send you a list to take to the grocery store when you pick up Christopher. This is... No, this is a lot, and he's not imagining it, but he is having a hell of a weird dream, isn't he? No, it's fine. Come on now, Hildy says in reproach. Don't you want to make Buck something nice to eat? He does. He doesn't need a device to tell him what, though. Even if, as he scans through the recipe she's suggested, Eddie's stomach growls. Well, that's just because he hasn't had lunch yet, isn't it? I'll figure something out, he says, then berates himself for talking to Hildy like she is an actual person in the room. Because this unit is obviously faulty, he switches it off, tugs the wires out too, and removes the plug from its socket. Well, that really is rude. 1 foot in the kitchen doorway, Eddie pauses, sure his ears are now playing tricks on him. He is imagining it. Yes? Yes, he has to be, because, yes, Eddie double checks, all the things that needed to be disconnected are, in fact, disconnected. I'm still here, you know. Eddie jumps back, glaring now, because this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous, isn't it? Isn't it? His mind is playing all kinds of tricks. Immediately he thinks of the Terminator and the nightmares he has had about a real-life Skynet. Well, it's here now, isn't it? Shit. Oh, I should take pity on you now, Hildy says with a sort of affectionate voice that Eddie does not want to hear at all. Look, Eddie, all is not as it appears. But everything is fine, absolutely fine, Hildy says, then adds, you might as well put me on your coffee table and have a sit down. This could take a while. Get your salad first, though, and I think you need some coffee, too. In a daze, Eddie does exactly what Hildy tells him. What Hildy tells him. Please, can he wake up sometime soon? So, despite the appearance being something to the contrary, I am not actually a Hildy device. Staring at said device, trying to work out how exactly Buck could have planned such an elaborate joke, Eddie also pinches the inside of his arm, just to make sure he is actually awake. He is awake. Well, this is worse. He is communicating with a Hildy, like they're having a regular conversation, and he's absolutely conscious for it. Seriously. He is crazy about Buck, but if he's behind this, Eddie might have to... He doesn't know what. If you aren't a Hildy, then what the hell are you? Oh, an excellent question. Aside from your mistrust of technology, which might actually be a credit to you, I'm not sure yet, you seem an intelligent enough kind of human. But I'll go slow, Hildy says. Buck, I swear. Ah, yes, Buck. Another thing I have to question your sanity about. Excuse me. This whole pining situation you have going on, aren't you tired of it? Eddie's poor brain. What the hell is going on? Look, Buck, believe you know, I am not a well-meaning or otherwise meant joke or prank by your not yet beloved. This is Eddie's first clue, first inkling, that perhaps whatever's gone wrong with his Hildy not because of Buck. So if you're not a Hildy, then what the hell are you? There is a handy clue on my casing. Huh? Come on. You can pick me up. I promise not to bite, Hildy says, and actually giggles at him. Eddie wants a drink, but he leans forward anyway, and after hesitating, does pick the device up. Ooh, warm hands. Nice. Ow! Hildy yelps when Eddie startles and drops her, which, honestly, it wasn't intentional. The little kick was, but... I will thank you to keep your feet off me. I'm not sure exactly how this whole thing works if you break this thing, so let's not take any risks, hmm? Go on. Pick me up. Gently. Okay, then. Desperate to be anywhere else but here, Eddie picks up the device and starts to inspect it. So, what am I looking for, exactly? I told you, there is a clue. Not to be rude or anything. Oh, no, not you being rude, Hildy says. Is that mocking in her tone? But can't you just tell me whatever it is you think I need to know? I am telling you. Phew, with riddles. This is not a riddle. This is a... how do I put this? Maybe I can say that this is all part of the curse. Eddie blinks. What? And one more pinch of his arm won't hurt, will it? He gives the skin a good pinch and winces for it, because no such luck. He is still awake. Damn it. You're cursed? Exactly. You're cursed, so you can't tell me exactly what's going on here. Oh, you are smarter than you look, Hildy says, actually sounding impressed. You know, that freezer, oh, don't you dare. Now, Eddie, read. Quick now, we haven't got all day. I need to write you a grocery list before you leave for school. Oh, this isn't happening. Also, Don't forget about your laundry. What if Hildy starts speaking to Christopher like this? What if Christopher somehow is the one to have set up this far too realistic AI? He's far smarter than Eddie is, so it's possible, right? Focus, Eddie. Right, okay. Focus. Yes. Focus on him losing his faculties. Regardless of that, Eddie begins to turn the device over, glaring when Hildy giggles again and tells him he is tickling her. Am I supposed to read something out loud? Well, it's a start. Serial number? No, probably not that. Hildy? Well, that would be obvious. Hildy Genie, brackets, fourth generation, brackets, home hub. Wait. Genie? He says, doubtfully. He's going to play along with this, and then either he will wake up, or Christopher will confess that he's done clever things to this hub, and Eddie will ground him for the first time in his life. Or, when Buck comes over tomorrow, Eddie will ask him to assess him. Focus, Eddie. And if he's concerned, take him somewhere to be checked over again. A round of applause, like an audience might give after a performance, rings out around the living room. Bingo! Well done, Eddie. Oh, I worried for a moment that this might take all night. You're a genie? It's the closest word you have in your limited vocabulary to explain what I am. So, yes, let's go with I am one of those. You can't say the word? I cannot. Even if it only exists in my limited vocabulary and not in your extensive one? The worst thing is, Eddie can hear Hildy thinking. He imagines it to be like dial-up internet instead of the heavy silence filling the room. I tried. Believe me, I tried. If I could, I would tell you everything you need to know to get this over and done with for us both. Within the hour. Less, perhaps. But sadly, that isn't how this thing works. I can't tell you anything directly. I can answer questions. I can answer all sorts of things, in fact. So, if I'm not in the middle of some really bad, weird dream or in a coma somewhere, no, neither of those, you're a genie and you're trapped in a Hildy by some kind of curse? Precisely. Okay, so you need my help to get out of there or something? Oh, aren't you sweet? Hildy says, yes. And no. I can help you, but you don't need my help. More or less. And you don't speak in riddles, Eddie says, his frustration building. Please, be a really weird dream. Do you like movies, Eddie? Huh? Sure, some. Do you like animated movies? Again, sure, some. What is your favourite? Hildy asks. I like The Lion King. Well, that's no good to me. Another? Finding Nemo? No. Snow White? No. Dumbo? Yes, you are. Or is that a himbo? Or is that your dear sweet buck? Hey, Eddie says, his face flushing. What's all this about Buck being his beloved anyway? Surely this damn Hildy device can't tell he has a ridiculous crush on his best friend, right? What? Oh, more movies, Eddie. Quickly now, please. Frozen? Oh, please. Sleeping Beauty? Beauty and the Beast? The Little Mermaid? What? Eddie snaps, for all of Hildy's huffing and puffing. Are you planning on listing every single animated movie ever made? Should I pull you up an IMDb list so you can just read them to me? Could you not just bring up the damn list and point out what the hell you want me to tell you? What are we going to do? Have a movie night? And here was me thinking of offering you date suggestions. I'm not dating anyone, Eddie growls out. His face is flushed and he can't stop fidgeting either. But you want to be? No, you basically want to be married already, Hildy says, her voice dripping with tears. I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway, movies? Lilo and Stitch? Encanto. I like Encanto a lot, actually. The songs, no, not Encanto, okay? It's great, honestly, I've seen it, but that is not the one I'm thinking of. Running his hand through his hair, Eddie drops back in the couch and then folds his arm across his chest. I don't know. Spider-Man. Spirited Away, I like that one too. Eddie. Aladdin. More applause erupts around the living room. Eddie would swear the sound was ricocheting off the walls. Finally. Well done, Eddie. Do you really need to be so patronising? Do you really need to be so uptight? How am I uptight? Eddie says, scowling his head off. Hildy laughs at him again. And okay, fine. Eddie might have had enough of this weird dream now, so he goes to stand up. Fine, Hildy says with an impatient click of tongue. I apologise. Yes, that is the movie in question. You want me to watch Aladdin? Tell me what you know about that film. I like the songs in that too. Fantastic. Perhaps you can do me a rendition later. What else do you remember? Do you really need to get so testy? Are you eating that salad or waiting for it all to wilt? Oh, yes. Lunch. Eddie had forgotten. Though, can anyone blame him? He takes a swig of his coffee first and then picks up the bowl with the salad in. Glad he threw in lots of chicken and chunks of cheese. So, Aladdin. There's this kid. Actually, I don't know how old he is, Eddie says, attempting to remember more than he does. He finds this magic lamp. A siren noise blasts out of the Hildy device. Along with an obnoxious sounding person saying, "We have a winner!" Think about that item. Hold it in your head. It's important. What else? Hildy asks. Eddie would swear that she was leaning in. There's a genie involved. Wait, Eddie says, dropping his fork in his salad. There's a genie. You're a genie. So, this Hildy device, this is your magic lamp. Bells and whistles go off. Fireworks too, which Eddie hates and winces for. Finally, the cacophony of noise dies down and Eddie is left working through his salad, staring down a Hildy hub. What kind of life is this? Now, tell me, Eddie, connecting those dots. Hold that thought in your head. Scramble them all together. What are we thinking now? This is a lot. A lot, okay? Eddie chews, thinks, drinks more coffee, and still would prefer it if he really were asleep. So, you are a genie, stuck in this Hildy device. And you want me to help you get out of there. You are smart. You are so smart. Bless you, Hildy says, now gushing at him. Okay. How do I do that, then? Because let me tell you, I am more than happy to smash this casing up right now. I'll need to make an excuse to Buck, but Buck adores you, so will forgive you for just about anything. He doesn't adore me. But he would probably replace you. It. This. And he says, prodding the device. Hey. Oh, sorry. I thought you were in the thing, not the thing itself. Which does not mean I can't feel things. Eddie, be nice. Eddie holds his hands up, letting his bowl rest in his lap. Sorry. In any case, cracking this casing will not help me in any way. Right. So, what do you want me to do? It's actually a win-win situation for both of us. Eddie doubts that somehow. Fine. How does that work? Think about the movie, Eddie. Think. What happened in the movie with the thing and the thing? What happens if you say the words you shouldn't say? What? That's a legitimate question, Eddie says, when Hildy tuts at him. I am unable to say those words. That is part of the curse. Do keep up. Do you want out of there or not? Fine, Eddie. Please, use that big, beautiful brain of yours and figure this out. Eddie eats his salad. Cheese. Very good. Hildy. Aladdin. Lamps. Genies. Oh, he knows. In the movie, the genie could grant Aladdin 3 wishes. A bell goes off, much like one in a boxing ring. So if you grant me 3 wishes, you'll be free? Oh, you beautiful, clever human. I'm becoming rather attached to you, do you know? I'm taking it that that was a yes. The thing about those words I can't use is that there are other words surrounding them that I also can't use, Hildy says. Of course. Right, so assuming this is all really happening, oh, believe me, I truly wouldn't like it if it weren't. You grant me 3 wishes and that gets you out of Hildy jail. You know, you really are very good, Hildy says. Why does she sound so impressed now? It wasn't that hard to figure out, right? Okay. The question is, Eddie, and this is important. This is where I can help you, and you can help me, and we can all go on to have lovely things. The question is, what is it that you really want? I can show you the world, shining, shimmering, splendid. Tell me, Eddie, now, when did you last let your heart decide? End of chapter 1.